Hello, this is Mike Harp, your host of the Divine Healing Prayer Ministry Program. And today I want to start off with a couple of spirit stories. I always joke that where I'm from, Alabama, that guys like to sit around and trade stories of hunting or fishing, and that's all well and good, but I say that when you start to focus on God a little more and you get with people who are of the same mind, we trade spirit stories. And so yesterday was my final day to complete the novena to St. Therese of Lisieux, the little flower. And for those non-Catholics, novena is just a period of 9 days where you pray for a specific petition. It was my first time completing the novena, and if you're Catholic, you probably heard of others completing this novena. And then you ask that St. Therese will pick for you a rose from the heavenly garden. And oftentimes, on the ninth day, you will receive a rose of some sort as a symbol of love, and hopefully that your prayer was answered. Yesterday was my last day, and I had almost forgotten about the novena, and then my stepfather gave me a call on his cell phone, which I can probably count the number of times he's contacted me on his cellular on one hand, because he's one of those guys that just doesn't use the cell phone very often. He probably doesn't know how to send a text. But he said he had a strong desire to send me a picture of this rose that the people at the parish of Little Flower back in Mobile, Alabama, were going to send to the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And so that was my rose, I felt. You know, they sent me a picture of the rose, and it was a pretty nice gesture from the Lord. Another story. I had a friend that was in prison for 4 years, and I would write him letters, and this is around the time that I was converting to a stronger faith, life in the faith. And I couldn't send him a rosary. He wasn't Catholic, but he wanted to pray the rosary, and I couldn't send him one because of the rules in the prison. And so I found a paper rosary, and before sending it, I had the local priest bless the piece of paper. And so he just made the sign of the cross over the paper with his hand, and that was that, and I put it in the envelope and sent it. When my friend got out of prison, he told me that, you know, I told him that I had a priest bless it, and he asked me what the priest used to bless it, and I said, well, you know, nothing, no holy water, no nothing, just his hand. And he said, well, there must have been something, because when I opened the envelope, there was a strong smell of roses on the piece of paper. And he kept the envelope, and that was probably over 10 years ago now, and to this day, the scent of roses still lingers on the piece of paper. And, you know, that brings me to the subject of what Catholics call sacramentals. It can be holy water, it can be a rosary blessed by the priest, like in my last example. You know, anything blessed by a priest in our Catholic Church, we believe, carries with it that prayer. We don't believe that the object, the metal, the water, whatever it might be, has any power in and of itself, like some type of, I can't think of the word, but, you know, some type of witchcraft or something, a talisman was the word I was looking for. It's nothing like that. It's a faith in the Lord and the authority that we believe He gave His church to pass on a blessing, a prayer, on simple objects. And a non-Catholic might ask, you know, where does that come from? You know, maybe they think Jesus said to have faith in Him alone. He didn't say to have faith in water or anything like that. Just to give you an insight into why Catholics believe these things, we see in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, when Jesus tells Peter that flesh and blood has not revealed it to him that he is the Messiah of God, but that Peter spoke that Jesus was the Messiah in the Spirit. Then he goes on in verse 18, and Jesus tells Peter, "And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it." In verse 19, Jesus goes on to say, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so we see there in the Catholic interpretation that Jesus does establish his church. He says that he will establish it on Peter, and then passes authority to Peter to make rules. He says, whatever you do on earth will be done in heaven. So that's where we believe that authority from the church comes to bless items, you know, to actually pass on God's power through their rulings, if they have that authority. And we see Jesus give that authority here. And later throughout the Acts of the Apostles, we see how that authority is passed down over and over again by the laying on of hands. And we believe that that authority is, you know, still passed down the same way today to our priests, which we refer to as apostolic succession. And so we see that, yes, we have faith in Jesus alone, but we trust in Jesus' ability to pass on authority. And, you know, we trust in that authority that it says here that he passed down to Peter, and that they would pass down through apostolic succession. What we don't see is Jesus ever saying to have faith in the Bible alone, which makes sense, of course, because there was no Bible as we have it today at that time. It came 400 years after the time of Christ in its completed version that we have today. But later in Scripture, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, we see Paul says that we should cling to the tradition passed down, both by word and letter. And so we do cling to the Bible, and we follow it as a guide in faith and morals. And we also cling to those traditions passed down to us that we see in the writings of the early church fathers, and passed down all the way to today. Another place in the New Testament where we see some authority passed over from Jesus is at the very end of the Gospel of John. After Jesus has resurrected from the dead, he appears to the apostles behind the closed doors and tells them, don't be afraid, you know. And he breathes on them, and it says he gives them the power to forgive or retain sins. And so that's where our belief in the Catholic Church comes from the priest's authority to actually forgive sins in the name of Jesus, you know. And we don't believe that we are confessing our sins to a man and that man is forgiving our sins by his own power. But similar to sacramentals, we believe that the power comes from God and that the priest is just intercessing for us. And if we look where that is rooted beyond the New Testament, we turn all the way back to the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament. It's always good to look at the Jewish roots from which our faith comes from, as it's a fulfillment of Judaism. And if we look in chapter 5 of Leviticus, verse 5, we see that the whole chapter is dedicated to how the Jews should go about making sin offerings. And verse 5 says, when someone is guilty in regard to any of these matters, that person shall confess the wrong committed and make reparation to the Lord for the wrong committed. A female animal from the flock, a ewe lamb or a she-goat, as a purification offering. Thus the priest shall make atonement on the individual's behalf for the wrong. And so we see here that people would go and confess their sins to the priest. They would offer a lamb or a ram, it says, and then by making this offering, the priest would then make atonement for their sins with the Lord. He would intercede for them, and they would go away forgiven of their sins. Today we really believe that the fulfillment of this was Jesus, the Lamb of God. He was the offering for our sins, and so we no longer need to bring an actual lamb or a ram and sacrifice it as they used to, but we have Jesus, the one true sacrifice. And his shed blood is what forgives us of our sins. And so we still go to the priest to confess our sins, and he intercedes for us and makes atonement for us. And the Lamb is Jesus. Jesus is the one that forgives us. And confession is just a way, you know, we do believe that God truly forgives us in confession, but it's also helpful for us on a practical level to get the sin off of our chest in a official manner and in a formal way, receive absolution, So we can walk away with the feeling that we are forgive, with the, you know, not questioning it, not doubting whether or not we're forgiven, but, you know, to walk away with it off of our chest and to believe that we are truly forgiven by the Lord, and therefore we can forgive ourselves. You don't have to be Catholic, by the way, to go to confession. And you also don't have to be Catholic to pray the rosary. But we'll leave that for another time. Thanks for listening. God bless you. Amen.